Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. Chris McMichael.
O'clock on the new year. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning, Football Friday. As we take you for the next 4 hours, as I got you till 5 a.m. and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Got Nico on the other side. And for one final time, I got you here in the overnights as we take you to 5 a.m. yet again and to the warm-up show. Obviously, a big day of college football. New Year's Day always is. I was at my in-laws today, so I didn't. He didn't make roast pork. That's usually the tradition in my house on New Year's Day. Didn't have any roast pork, but that's okay. Lobster tails and filet mignon work. Thank you, Vito. Hope everybody had a great New Year's Eve, a wonderful New Year's Day. We get in the swing of things. The new year has started. 2026. I was saying this all day. I remember when I was in kindergarten. Graduation, and at the end of kindergarten graduation, they announced, and here's the high school graduating class of 2001. And that sounded like forever, and now it's 2026. Amazing. Everybody have a wonderful, happy, healthy new year. Looking forward to spending it here with you on the fan. It'll be in a different form, but I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, yesterday, a lot of college football. We just had the one great game of the day as I'm driving in the car, of course. Couldn't have been. I'm sitting in front of the TV watching college football all day. Can't get a good game. I got to be in the car. As Jambliss is going down the field. And look, the games are great, right? The Lane Kiffin story is an interesting one. As you know, obviously Ole Miss is now on this run, and just the idea that the Final Four here in college football is Oregon and Indiana, and Miami and Ole Miss. I mean. No Alabama, as they got smoked today. No Georgia, as they just got beat. No Ohio State. The usual is it's a different, I mean, to have Miami in this game, it's going to be fun. But for me, as I, you know, I'm open and honest about it. I'm not the biggest college football guy. I don't have, you know, I have young kids and a family. I can't tell them I'm watching football all day Sunday and Saturday. So I was watching these games mainly for the quarterback play because both of these football teams, as I was listening to Al go through all the different coaching aspects and everything, to me, and if you heard me the other day in the afternoon, I am singularly focused on making sure these two football teams lose on Sunday because it is about the quarterback and it is about the draft stock, and the New York Giants have a quarterback out of Ole Miss already in Jackson Dart. And I want them to get that second overall pick because you know what? Yeah, Dante Moore didn't have a great game. They're going to be on display against each other. Moore, Mendoza in the semifinal. Maybe Chambliss does. Maybe he's that name off an incredible game. I mean, in this game yesterday, last night that we just saw, I mean, he was incredible down the stretch. The back shoulder throws, the big clutch. Plays 30 of 46, 362 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe he's that quarterback. I don't know. But there's going to be a quarterback that's going to move up to the draft class. We've already seen two. Possibly more comes out. Mendoza clearly after the impressive, just absolute drubbing. The absolute drubbing of Alabama. As they got off to a little bit of a slow start, but then completely dominated this football game. Alabama could do nothing. They couldn't run the football, but, I mean, you look at this thing. Fernando Mendoza hardly had to do anything. 14 of 16, 192 yards, and three touchdown passes. He made all the plays. He made the throw in the corner of the end zone. He made the wide open touchdown throw. So he didn't have to do anything all that impressive. Indiana and their head coach, who Google him, all he does is win. They had an impressive game here, and he is clearly going to be. Now, look, we'll play some of the sound in the post game. I've heard Tiki talk about this. There is something about listening to him speak in these post games, and it's so, robotic, or I don't want to say nerdy the way that Tiki talks about it, but there's just a different feel to him. And I'm interested to see how it translates to the NFL, but there's no doubt right now he is going to be the quarterback in this draft. And I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care about how next year's class is going to be better, right? And, Arch Manning could be leading that class. I know he had a big game the other day. We'll see. But there's going to be quarterbacks in this draft, and it is imperative that both of these lousy football teams win their games. And by win, I mean lose. And make sure they get the second overall pick, which is still possible for the New York Jets, who are sitting at 3. And this Giant game scares me. I talked about it the other day, Wednesday, New Year's Eve, in the afternoon. They're going to play Jackson Dart, the New York Giants. They're going to play Jackson Dart. It sounds like all 60 minutes. I don't know how the Dallas Cowboys are going to handle it. It sounds like Dak Prescott is not going to play the entire game. Now, hopefully the Giants are smart. Every player that's been absent from practice, whether it's Wandell Robinson, Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter, these guys who've been ill and dealing with things, the New York Giants should handle this game as they did last year against Philadelphia and secure this top draft pick, because if they are drafting 7th, they are going to ruin an opportunity to trade out and get a ton of picks to secure this roster. And yes, we find out now, and it's no surprise to me, and it's unbelievable, as Paul Schwartz put out another story today, or yesterday now, about Joe Shane being in place, having an opportunity to take his second pick, his second head coach, and how that is traditionally done well for some GMs, having a second opportunity to pick head coaches. There is no doubt Joe Shane is coming back. Joe Shane is going to be leading this coaching search for the New York Giants, and Joe Shane is going to be the man who hopefully is going to have an opportunity with the second overall pick to make a big trade, acquire multiple picks, and try and set up this franchise for the next 5-year run with Jackson Dart, at the bare minimum, hopefully longer than that. And that's why he needs to the one positive about him coming back is he doesn't feel he needs to win this game. And they should make, we all know Kopf is going to coach to win it. We know the players are going to play to win it. We know Jackson Dart's going to play to win it. But the general manager needs to look at this roster and recognize if he's coming back, what's best for this franchise is not to get these, if with a win they could fall all the way to 7th. You have got to take this second pick, because quarterbacks will find their way to the top of the draft. And for the New York Jets, as we all think that Aaron Glenn is coming back, we know Muji will be back. And they are in desperate need. I know I was talking to Brian Baldinger the other day, and sure, the defense is awful, right? And they don't have talent, and they can use a bunch of picks as well. And they just acquired a whole bunch. And here's the main point with this, and I want to focus on this with the New York Jets for anyone who has any misconceptions. Yes, the Jets have a lot of holes, right? Right now, I don't know what they have. They have an offensive line that was pretty damn good. It's going to be the only offensive line in the NFL this year to have all 5 starters play every single game. And start every single game. They've got Wilson at wide receiver, who you feel really good about, although he's dealing with some injuries. But I think if this were a season that meant anything, we'd see him back on the field. But he is a stud wide receiver. And outside of that, they have an offensive line and a wide receiver. They don't have a quarterback. I don't think Breece Hall is coming back. And even if he does, they have to re-sign him. So right now, you can't talk as if he's there. The defense is atrocious. They don't have cornerbacks. They have a couple of guys you think can be decent edge rushers, but they never get home. They have Like, the coach is literally praising the idea that they haven't had a kick block this year. That what's been good about the Jets season, coach? Well, to be totally honest with you, a lot of things. First and foremost, we haven't had a single kick block this entire season. So, yes, they have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and next year they have three first-round picks. And it would be great to fill the roster and everything. Here's the point of fact. They need a franchise quarterback. And we can sit here all day and talk, and we will. We'll go through the NFL, 888-808-1019. It's a Football Friday. We'll give you some picks. I'm only going to pick the locals and the important games. It seems silly to pick anything else. But we'll go through it. And Lamar Jackson, right? He's going to play for the Baltimore Ravens. And maybe he does shake free. Maybe they change things in Baltimore. We could sit here until the cows come home talking about maybe Joe Burrow is available. Maybe Lamar Jackson is available. Who knows what quarterback? Let's get a bridge quarterback. Nonsense. None of that is really plausible to me. What's plausible when you are a lousy football team with a ton of picks and a guy like Mendoza possibly available or whoever else, who knows what the Raiders are thinking? I know they got the first overall pick, but you look at these quarterbacks, and we're going to see Dante Moore and Mendoza on display against each other in a semifinal game. If you are the New York Jets and you believe in a quarterback, I don't care what it takes. I don't care how many picks it takes. You go out and make sure you lose to Buffalo, although right now it sounds like Josh Allen might not play. He hasn't practiced. He's dealing with a foot injury. They don't need the game. Jets need to figure out a way to lose this football game too. But if they are in position, and even if they win this football game, whatever they have to do to move up, I hear, it's not worth it. The Jets have too many holes. Quarterbacks are crapshoots. Next year's quarterback draft is better. They'll have three first-round picks next year. You do whatever you have to do to move up in the draft and get the quarterback you believe in. And I promise you, there will be quarterbacks who will move up this draft. There will be a guy available to the New York Jets. And if there isn't, then there isn't. But if there is, you do whatever you have to do. You move up, you make the trades, you improve this team, you get the guy you need. And you don't wait for next year. You don't play the game and kick the can down the line for, next year's draft class. Because let's be honest, this regime right now with Aaron Glenn, I have no faith in them whatsoever. And if you're going to tell me that Aaron Glenn is going to get some sort of bridge quarterback, a Malik Willis, or they're going to run back with Tyrod Taylor, or they're going to do whatever, like, do you think that football team wins games next year? Because I don't. They have an offensive line and one wide receiver. Malik Willis is going to come in here and win football games. Why? Because they have a bunch of cap space. How much can you accomplish in free agency? And this coach has shown no ability. Like, yeah, Malik Willis has played well for Green Bay with LaFleur in the sporadic playtime he's gotten with the love injuries. Sure, with LaFleur, he has played well. What makes you think Aaron Glenn, who handpicked Justin Fields, is going to be able to come through with a game plan for Malik Willis or any other, bridge quarterback you might have deemed suitable for the New York Jets, win games and put you in a position next year to have a tougher time drafting a quarterback? But if you lose, though, if you have the season we all expect with a bridge quarterback, you've had a failed season this year where many people, myself included, don't think he should be back now. Follow that up with a miserable season with a bridge quarterback and have more losses and then draft a young quarterback. And you know what rookie quarterbacks typically do in the NFL? Lose. How many losing seasons can the Jets afford in a row before they attempt to turn this thing around? The New York Jets need to be in the market for one of these quarterbacks come the draft without question. And we will see what happens with the Raiders playing the Chiefs and the circumstances of that. You're still hoping that the Giants could find their way to the first overall pick. It's a little convoluted. They need multiple things to happen, but it's plausible. But that's what the New York Jets need to do. both of these teams yet again, as we're sitting here watching college football games, we got a couple of duds. As Oregon 23-0 over Texas Tech, you got Alabama just absolutely getting trounced by Indiana. And then you finally got a good one as Ole Miss takes care of Georgia. And it's set up for the Dante Moore Mendoza Bowl and an opportunity to see what Dante Moore is made of and whether or not he could be that second overall quarterback coming up and that second overall pick. And if so, that game now becomes so imperative to the New York Jets and the New York Giants about their future at the quarterback position or their future and their ability to make big impact trades to change everything about them. So that game's going to be big. And we'll get to it. We'll go around the NFL, obviously, on this morning. We'll get to the college football games. Again, I missed the second half of this game because I'm driving in the car to come here. But we could talk about the college football games. We'll get into the rest of the NFL. The Giants and Jets need to lose. And, of course, you know me. It's my last overnight. I will be talking baseball. As Emi has chosen a team, he will go to the Houston Astros on a 3-year deal with opt-outs for $18 million with incentives on low number of innings to bump it up to as much as 21 per. Both the Yankees and the Mets sit it out. And we're going to get to that relatively quick in the show because that's what, I might as well talk about what I want to talk about, and I want to talk about baseball. I'm sick of talking about all the losing from these teams. I'm sick of talking about these two lousy football teams. I want to talk about our two lousy off seasons in the baseball and figure out what the hell is going on. And I'm going to get to that. But Emi, reasonable contract, a player who came in with major expectations. There was discussions that he could get upwards of $200 million when the offseason started. He ends up getting a 3-year deal with opt-outs after every year with only $18 million guaranteed. And the Yankees and Mets weren't even interested. Weren't even interested. The Mets don't have a rotation. The Mets do not have a rotation. Let's be honest. They don't. It's what failed them at the end of last year. The pitching lab came to a screeching halt and ruined the season. They've gone into it knowing that's exactly what they're desperate for and nothing. Now, trades are still available, and some free agents are, but it's impossible to think either of these two teams are delving into the free agent market if they're not even interested in a pitcher who, yeah, by all means, is not an ace. And I'll get into why, particularly as a Yankee fan, I'm not overly depressed they passed on him. We're acting like Yamamoto just got passed up. I get it. I understand what he is and what he isn't. But this is an extremely friendly contract with the opportunity to just opt out of it. If he's any good, that he would just opt out of it. You're guaranteeing him $18 million over a couple of years. These are the kind of contracts and the kind of market collapses that you would think David Stearns in particular would be all over. Not the case. Where is the pitching coming from for the Mets? We'll get to the Yankees and Bellinger. And are they actually considering, as is being reported, in the discussion for Bo Bichette? I don't know, but we'll get to it. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on, yes, this final overnight. As after today, I will be doing the Saturday show, so you'll still hear me even this Saturday. And I'll continue doing the Saturday show, but we will start Monday with the Craig Carton Show with me, Chris McMonagle. We'll begin that, and this is the final overnight. So we'll talk about this more, but the overnight family, you know how much I appreciate you. It's been a wild 2.5 years. I expected to do a lot longer. I expected to be here a lot longer, but 2.5 years was incredible. It's been, a life-changing thing for me, finally becoming a full-time host here at WFAN, and I appreciate it every second of it, and I'm looking forward to talk to you guys the rest of the show. 888-808-1019, we'll talk more about that as we go, but looking forward to talk to you. We got a little college football, little NFL football, little Yankee Met hot stove. As we head into the final overnight on this Football Friday, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming off a wild, crazy Ole Miss-Georgia game where I'm listening in the car at the end of the game, which was just wild on itself. You get multiple times that, you know, they're describing it on the radio. They're bringing on the stage to have the, you know, the celebration. Coach is getting doused with Gatorade, and referees keep coming back saying, put 1 second on the clock. Then Ole Miss, I guess, I didn't see the, Nico, you were watching. Did they not, so they get the safety, and it's a free kick. Now, did they not try to recover the ball? Like, because it was hard to understand what was going on radio. But Georgia gets the recovery on the kickoff.
Yeah, I was watching it with no volume in the control room. But my understanding from what it looked like was that Ole Miss assumed that once Georgia touched it, the one second would just run off.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And that's not what happened. They gave them the extra play.
Yeah.
So it's a weird situation because when you touch the ball and you're already down,
yeah.
I don't know if the clock is supposed to run for that 1 second, but
right.
I guess luckily it ended up not mattering.
No, I know it ended up not mattering, but that was bizarre. That was bizarre. And then I'm like, they recover it? And I'm thinking to myself, maybe they don't, like, and that's, you know, Ole Miss should know that rule. There's no way you allow them that play. I know it ends up not mattering, but there's no way you can allow them to make that play. And the Ole Miss kicker had an incredible game. I think he broke the record for the longest kick in Sugar Bowl history. And I was actually in New Orleans once for New Year's Eve and the Sugar Bowl. It was Ole Miss versus Oregon State, 2015-16 New Year's. Me and my wife, after we got married, December 12th, 2015, we went for like a little trip. The honeymoon was next summer, but, you know, she's a teacher. We didn't have time to really go on a honeymoon right away. So we just went to New Orleans for a couple of days. We didn't go to the game or anything, but the city was filled with Ole Miss fans. And I think it was Oregon State. But I'll tell you what. 3 for 3, long of, I think he hit a 53, a 56, and obviously the game winner. Lucas Canero? Oh, was it Oklahoma State that year? Okay. Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State. But yeah, listen, Lucas Canero, the Giants could use a kicker. That's for sure. We'll take an Ole Miss quarterback and Ole Miss kicker. That's one thing. Joe Shane, you're lucky you're coming back just based on the kicking situation. Just based on the kicking situation alone, you're lucky you have a job. You better get that one right. Use a draft pick. I don't care. Use one of the draft picks you get. If you're lucky enough. We went through all the different ramifications. I'm telling you right now. I know I'm harping on it. I know. And I know I've become the tanker. I know. And we'll get to the baseball quickly because I'm more focused on that right now. I'm tired of yelling all week long about the football. And these coaches and these teams and how miserable it is to be a football fan and how I'm rooting for losses against division rivals. And we'll get to the idea that Eli Manning, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that, you know, when the Cowboys had beaten the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs in back-to-back weeks and they were the trendy pick in the NFC to get hot and make a run, and I was looking forward to if they did make that run the last week of the year and then comparing it to Eli Manning, that win against the Cowboys and how it took them into the Eli Manning into the next season. I do think there are some differences and we'll get to it. But I'm not rooting for that kind of, I don't believe Jackson Dart should play the entire game. I don't believe Jackson Dart will benefit as much as Eli Manning did from beating the Cowboys. We'll get to that and I'll tell you why I feel that way. But like, I hate that the right now, as a fan, you're sitting there rooting for these teams to lose. It sucks.
I hate it. They need to fix that. They need to come up with some sort of plan where we don't have to do this as a fan base, but there's no doubt. I mean, the Giants, we could have this miserable, disgusting, ugly season, 2 weeks left, and have the first overall pick at our fingertips and win the last 2 weeks of the year and end up picking seventh. That would be, you want to be happy about two wins at the end of the year? God bless you. The idea they went from 1 to 7 in the NFL draft would be a freaking travesty. It would bother me so much that we had to sit through this entire season of losing only to win two meaningless games at the end and cost them the opportunity to make a huge trade. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll get into the baseball as well, because I want to focus on the offseason now, as this will be the last Football Friday of the year here locally, at least. And it's time to start talking about these two baseball teams who are doing absolutely nothing, as Emi just went to the Houston Astros. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Ed in the Bronx. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to call you because I listen to you a lot because I work overnight. But yep. I know that you're moving to the morning spot on Mondays. And
afternoons.
I will never have a chance. Yeah, I will never have a chance to get to talk to you again. But I listen to the show all the time.
Well, and, thank you, Ed.
I just wanted to wish you a happy new year and, wishing the best for you and your family, because I hear you all the time. You're talking. Yeah. You're talking. You know, but I'm on vacation right now, and I go back actually Monday night. So
okay.
You will not be somebody I can listen to. I got to get used to listen to Gordon and like some other guest hosts. Like, you know, but
well, we'll see. Yeah, they haven't really they haven't locked down the overnight just yet. But everybody I've been listening, they all do a great job. Al was just on, Gordon, EJ Stewart's been doing a couple shows. They you're in good hands, I promise you.
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to Al a couple of times, and I listened to Gordon a couple of times, and you're right.
But they're not me. I understand. I don't know. You know.
It is not. It's not you. It's not Chris McConaughey. I get it.
There you go.
You know.
Uh-huh.
So like sometimes, especially, I'm usually off Friday and Saturday, so you know I don't really listen to this. But because I'm on vacation, I'm listening to this, and this is the last day that I can listen to Chris.
Yeah,
I can listen to Chris.
Yes.
You know? But
well, I appreciate that, Ed.
I know your big deal was you don't want to talk about no more football, but this football, these playoffs that for this college, this was awesome to me. I mean, I really appreciate it. The Mendoza dude, he really is what he is.
Well, we'll see.
All the top teams, they're not really in it no more.
No, so, and you know what? That is, that's a talking point about this. And, Ed, thank you so much. Enjoy your vacation. Thank you for listening for these 2.5 years. And I'm going to miss you and the listeners as well, because, you know, it is kind of a unique thing. And I'll talk about this as we go through the show. The overnights is different. We all came up, I guess now it's different. But when I came up, my generation of guys through the fan, Marash and Lugie now are moving up, and we're all three of us, hopefully, all three of us are prominent names here at the station now, and really have been for a while. But we came up interning. When you intern, you start working the overnight. You get trained on the board on the overnight. Rob Axisa, name I haven't thought of or said in a long time. Rob Axisa used to be the Mike Fliegelman. Mike Fliegelman now is the producer of the overnight. Rob Axisa was the overnight producer. I trained with Rob, learned how to run the board through the overnight, worked the overnight. The first shifts you get regularly is the overnight. The first full week, I told this to Jerry last week, the first full week of producing or, working on the board was in the overnight, and Jerry Recco was the host all week. I forget which week it was. It was in the middle of summer, I think. So I guess it was just a week where everybody was off, and he was doing the overnights, and I did the whole week with him, Monday through Friday. I mean, that's where we all start, is the overnights, and now having hosted it, you realize, and you knew then too, it's a family. And it's a lot of the same callers, and it's a lot of the same people because we live this same unique lifestyle. It's
No matter what happens in my future, I'll always remember that you were the host that I worked with for the first time.
See? There you go. And I remember Nico training. So it's a unique thing because to be up at 1:35 in the morning, 2:35 in the morning, 3:35 in the morning wanting to talk sports, it's a different lifestyle. You're a bartender getting off of work. You work in a warehouse. You're a driver. You know, it's not normal to be up these hours. It's a unique lifestyle to live it. And we all, for the most part, we all share that bond of sleeping during the day and living a different type lifestyle than everybody else. And so it is unique. It becomes a little bit of a family. And let's just be honest, there's no reason not to, you're reliant on the calls more. I'm by myself. I'm doing 5 hours a lot. You know, most of the time it's three, but a lot of the time it's five. Doing 5 hours, it's just me. I don't have a co-host to bang things off of. I know, you know, Fleegs and Nico and the other, you know, fill-in guys do a great job, but they're not a co-host. I'm not going to, you know, we banter a little bit, but it's me here for 5 hours, and I rely on the callers so much. So it's a different type of show than the Afternoon Drive show is going to be, certainly than the morning show is, or any other show. And so there's a unique relationship with the audience and to the callers in particular. And I'm going to miss that. And doing it 2.5 years and just feeling like I'm hitting my stride with it, it's going to be, you know, it's obviously I'm excited. Obviously I'm looking forward to the change. Obviously it's a lifelong dream to be the Afternoon Drive host at WFAN. So I'm not going to try and, you know, mince words with that, but I am going to miss this, and I'm going to miss you guys. And it's been an amazing 2.5 years. When I was told I got the overnight shift as the full-time overnight host on WFN, I could not have been more excited. I've loved doing it. Wanted to do this. You know, people were looking at me like, why the hell are you doing an overnight Friday before Monday? Because I wanted to work leading up to Monday. Because sometimes if you take off for a bunch, you feel like you're out of the loop. I wanted to stay in the loop, wanted to keep working through this. And I wanted to do one more overnight to kind of not really say goodbye again. I'm not going anywhere. If you're a fan of the fan, even if you do work these hours and are an overnight listener like Ed for the most part, I'm going to be around. You're going to hear me. I'm, you know, it's not like I'm leaving, but I am leaving this. And I'm going to miss all of you. Now, what the hell was Ed talking about that I've completely went on this rant? Oh, the playoff and the bye, yes. So that is a talking point of this. You know, much like Major League Baseball, since the playoff format change, a lot has been said about being the wild card team, getting that first round win, playing those games, going into a cold team, especially a baseball team that's typically used to playing every day. And some of the early results have been that the wild card teams have been successful. Well, in the first 2 years of this new NCAA playoff format, I think any team, I was listening to the radio, I got to double check this, but they gave it on the radio, so anything you hear on the radio must be accurate. They said on the radio broadcast that the Indiana win yesterday is the only game that a team that had a bye of over 25 days or something like that has won. It's 1-7. The team with the long layoff in this new playoff format, which is typically the higher seed, they're 1-7 in these games. Now, again, that is a short sample size of only 2 years. I don't think you can make a definitive statement on it, but 1-7 is 1-7. And typically in college football, the better team usually wins these games. So to see the higher seed be 1-7, there's definitely something. And the layoff is in a couple of days, right? In baseball, we're complaining that the Yankees or the Mets or whomever, you know, have a couple of days. They're not used to having a week off. This is a month. They have a month without playing. And in these big games like this, you're rusty in the first quarter. You're rusty at the beginning of the game, and you fall behind like Ohio State did 14-0 on New Year's Eve. That's a tough. These are tough games to just get back into down 14 to nothing. It changes your game plan. It changes how you play. It changes the style of the game. It changes how they play defense. Like, it's tough to come out in these huge, big, you know, emotionally charged games and not have it right away because you haven't played in a month. 1-7. So I wonder if this is, like, I don't know what they could do now. But people are clamoring for it. And as always, look, when it was 4, there's always a fifth team crying. Now, if it would have been 8, 9, if there's 12, 13, like, someone's crying that they're out, right? I mean, Notre Dame took themselves out of bowl eligibility because they felt they should have been in this tournament. So everybody wants more and more teams. We want more and more playoffs. We want to make more and more money. We want to have more and more bowls. We want to have more and more, you know, riveting games. And for the most part, so far, you've seen a lot of upsets. And in this particular weekend, we have seen only one good game and 3 blowouts. I shouldn't say Miami was a blowout, but it felt like a non-competitive game for a lot of it. Ohio State couldn't do much. But we got 2 duds today. And then a great game with a crazy ending last night. But 1-7 for the higher seeds in this tournament. Anybody who has a layoff of a month or more, they don't win these games. Indiana's the only team to do it in the last 2 years. 888-808-1019. Teddy and Yonkers. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, so CM, first of all, did you see those movies yet? Keep them on your list.
I've been busy. It's been the holidays. But yes.
Okay.
What was it again? You gave me.
Not Without Hope.
Not Without Hope. Writing it down right now.
The NFL players that went on a fishing trip. I don't want to tell you anything about it. And then Sarah's Oil.
Sarah's Oil, right.
Both movies are based on true stories, okay?
Okay. It's
very significant. And you'll really enjoy it. And then when you eventually see them, then you'll talk about it on the radio.
I will.
And I'll be listening to you.
And I will now say the great Teddy and Yonkers was the one who gave me these movies.
Okay. CM, I want to ask you a couple of things.
Sure.
I'm 76. I speak to a lot of my colleagues who are in the phys ed department and other departments when we taught. They retired also. They've lost a lot of interest in professional and collegiate sports for a variety of reasons. Are they going, a couple of things, are they going to try to run out the Ohio State coach because he lost the last 2 games and he was national champs last year? And has it reached the point now that if you can't win the national championship, you're going to be run out of the college?
Yeah.
Run out of coaching? That's turned me off.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I don't know about you. I don't care for that. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends in the education department, they're turned off by that. And
I hear you, Teddy. And, I would be surprised. I would be surprised after winning a national championship last year that they would fire him. But, I mean, I know, listen, there's always more to the story. It is a disappointing end. They lose the Big Ten championship game and they get beat by Miami, and that's a bad loss. I mean, it is a bad loss. You have to be fair. I mean, it's a very tough loss. And college is a little bit different than the pros, where, you know, that's a game to Miami that you shouldn't be losing. Let's just be honest, shouldn't lose that game. But I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. I'm going back and look at it now. I don't know if they would fire him off of that. I doubt it. Now, as far as just coaches in general not be giving time, I thought you were going to get into more of the college aspect of the idea that we're seeing guys who, because of the changes inside the NCAA and because there's really no power there anymore, that people are just, they're allowed to do whatever they want. And you're getting guys who played in the NBA, Multiple kids now, one who was drafted and one who and never played, went to the Summer League or the G League and never actually played in the NBA, but he's being recruited or joining a team. And we're seeing guys who played in the NBA possibly coming back and playing college basketball. So, I mean, it's become completely different. They're paying these kids, obviously. I mean, there was a time right? I remember a story. I forget which coach it was, but you know, one of his kids lost their like best friend, and he paid for him to fly down to the kid's to his buddy's funeral, and it was a major thing. Was that Harbaugh in Michigan? Why does that jump out at me that it was Harbaugh in Michigan a couple years ago? But like the simplest little thing, you know, they picked up an Uber for someone. Like the smallest, you buy them lunch, and there would be penalties and ramifications. And now they're making, you know, getting paid to play, being recruited once they're professionals. Like it's not college sports anymore. It's a secondary professional league. And is it more fair to the kids? Probably, but does it change things in a dramatic way and maybe and probably not for the better? Yeah, probably. Kevin in Rockland County, what's up, Kevin?
C-Mac, break a leg. And, man, we're going to miss you, man.
Thank you,
we're
buddy.
Gonna
I appreciate
miss
that.
And I tell too. You, it's great. It was a great 2.5 years. I remember when Ron and Caesar, when he left, he said I was his favorite caller. Then he came back as a lawyer, as like, you know, just come back and say hello. And he named somebody else as his favorite caller. I just hoped it was like when he left, he was listening and someone else became. But the thing is, with the Giants, I remember last year with Drew Lock, and then and this year with Jackson Dart winning games late in the season. But you seem to calm down, because I remember 2 years ago you went wild on Tommy DeVito when he won that game against Green Bay. Oh, he's going to ruin the draft pick and everything. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what do they think
right.
These guys are
going to
do? Wow, the Giants did it last year, too. And they did it this year, too. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, you know, I've been annoyed every time. I've been consistently annoyed.
I understand. It would have been great. They had the first pick. They could have played around with these other teams because they have their quarterback already. But anyway, it's the last call I'll ever make to you at the overnight. Go, Buchanan! Go,
there
baby!
There you go, Kevin. There you go. The last one ever. Who'd he say that said he was his best call and then came back a lawyer? I didn't even understand what he said there. I don't know. But, yeah. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people, and I know he's just playing his games. But people do get annoyed at the tanking situation. People get annoyed that I'm rooting for the Giants to lose. People can't understand it. Yeah. Right now, I'm just saying, and I want to preface this by saying, I am extremely high on Jackson Dart. I do think the Giants have found their quarterback. I do think he's the quarterback of the future. And I do think the Giants, for the first time in a while, have that. And I feel good about them moving forward, especially if they hire a good head coach here. And I'm really hoping Tomlin or Harbaugh are able to shake free, and that's a hire they can go make. But Drake May is quite possibly going to be the MVP of the NFL. He's got the best completion percentage in the NFL, and he's turned around, and I know the coach and the offensive coordinator are huge parts of it too. But the Patriots were lousy last year. They've been a dominant football team for a lot of the season, and they just uprooted the Bills, winning the division every year since 2019. And they did it like that. And he could possibly be the MVP of the league. And he would be a New York Giant right now. They would be 2 years into the Drake May era of Giants football if Tommy DeVito didn't beat the Green Bay Packers in primetime that everybody got all excited for. Everybody all got pumped up about. Turned Tommy DeVito into a household name around these parts, selling Rao's pasta sauce. Lines around the corner in New Jersey to come meet him at a deli. Drake May could be the quarterback right now. Tony in Middletown. What's up, Tony?
Well, I got to serenade you, you know, on the way off of midnight. Can I do it real quick?
Please, go ahead.
All right. Well, I've got to run to keep from hiding. And I'm bound to keep on riding. And I got one more silver dollar. But I'm not going to let him catch you. No, not going to catch you. Not the midnight. You're the midnight rider, okay?
Well, thank you, Tony. Yeah. Yes.
I kind of butchered it at the end, but
well,
anyway,
that's okay. That's okay. Today we'll allow it. Today we'll allow it. But yes,
my
that was,
man, my
that,
man.
Yeah, not the best rendition at the end there, but that's okay. But thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it. I had a little, that was in the minute that was the, like, I wasn't sure what the regular open was going to be. The Mac the Knife thing kind of was a last-minute decision between a couple other...
Nah, Midnight Rider, man. You're the Midnight Rider.
I knew for the five-hour shows at midnight I was going to do the Midnight Rider the second I got the job.
Yeah,
so.
And I tell you, you kill it. I tell you, you...
Thank you.
I mean, I butcher it, but you kill it, man. Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, yeah, well, I mean, listen, I promise you, because let's be... Like, people are concerned that I'm never going to be able to speak... That I'm not going to be me, that, you know.
The one thing I
will say for sure, the reason I started singing on air, I did not sing on air outside of like a couple, you know, what, like if it took me or singing a rejoin occasionally or whatever, having a little bit of fun. But I didn't really start singing on air until Craig kind of made me do it and was like.
You got an album worthy voice, I'm telling you.
Well, I don't know about an album worthy.
No,
I mean, you know.
I know movies. I know voices. You, I'm telling you, I would buy it because that voice is golden. I'm telling
you. Well, that's very kind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. I don't know about that. I don't know if I could do an album. I mean, I guess anyone could these days, right? They'll auto-tune my voice into something more play. I can carry a tune. Honestly, in all seriousness, I have a little fun with it and everything. And every once in a while, I'll brag about it and be cocky about it. But here's the truth. If I show up at karaoke night, you're pleasantly surprised that the fat kid could sing a little bit. And it's not like, you know, you don't have to leave the room or I'm not laughable. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, not bad. That's about it. That's what it is. I don't know. I don't know if I'd make it to Hollywood if I went to an American Idol audition. Like, I don't know if I'd make it to Hollywood. But if you were with your friends at a karaoke night, or you're on a cruise ship at a karaoke night or whatever, and I came on and did a little Billy Joel or a little bit of Midnight Rider, yeah, you'd be like, yeah, pretty good. That's about it. But don't tell anybody, because I try to be extremely confident in my singing. But I like doing it. I like doing it. Why not? I can do it a little bit, so why not bring all of your talents? And again, I thank Craig for that. Craig was the one who put me on the spot, made me sing. The first thing was, I forget what I did. I don't know if I sang something or did something or he heard me sing something. I don't know. But his son, Anthony, I remember one time, for whatever reason, Craig was working from home early on in the Carton and Roberts show. And Craig had to work from home for a day for some reason. And his son, Anthony, was with him. And Anthony asked me to sing, what's his name? I'm going to search it up because I know the song. Andy Grammer. He asked me to sing an Andy Grammer song. I don't know why. But that was like, then I sang that. And then from that moment on, Craig was always making me sing. I sang at the live events. Famously, Fall Out Boy came into studio and he made me sing Fall Out Boy songs to them, which is by far, I talk about this a lot, the two most nervous moments I've ever had here at the station. And it's not, it really, it's not turning on this mic and being behind it. Even for the first gigs, like there's some sort of, I don't know what it is. There's some sort of just like confidence or just calmness that comes on me when I turn on the mic. I mean, I'm not saying I'm never nervous. I get nervous more in the newsroom than right before I turn on the mic. But the two most nervous moments I've ever had at the station was when the first week I worked for Mike. It was the start of, I think it was when the network started. So it was January of 2013. that I started working with Mike. But it was the first week running the board for the great Mike Francesa. And that Friday, his football picks. And he would always do in the league where they pay. Excuse me, in the league where they play for pay. And when he would say for pay, you would have to hit the music. His the special song for him, his football music. And as he's going through it, you know, talking of whatever, week number 8 already in the NFL, whatever, no, it was already a playoffs probably because it was January. Or, you know. But while he was doing that and I'm waiting with my hand over the button to hit that, I could see it right now. My hand was completely shaking. I was so nervous I was going to ruin that. I made sure like 100 times that I had the right music lined up. I potted down everything else like there was no, and pots are just the faders. Like if I hit a different button, it wouldn't have played is what I'm saying. Like I made sure that I could not mess this up. But still, my hand over the button was completely shaking. And then the other time I was the most nervous in my life here at the station was when Craig made me sing in front of Fall Out Boy. Because if I don't know if you're a Fall Out Boy fan, he's a great singer, and it is a very like loud, high pitched, belting kind of, you know, dance. Like he's not easy to sing. He's not Billy Joel, and not to say Billy Joel isn't a great singer, but it's not like that kind of like, you know, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, where you could just like, you know, come on and anybody could do it. As long as you can carry a tune a little bit, like he's a unique singer. And although he wasn't there, the rest of the band was, I was like, man, I'm like, I was so mad at him for making me do that. I was like, you're not going to make me do this. You're not. He's like, no, you're going to sing for them. He's like, prepare. I'm like, bro, please do not ask me to sing in front of the band a cappella. And then sure enough, in the middle of the interview, no, you know, our board up here, Chris fancies himself as a singer. I was like, you son of a. I was so mad that I had to do that. But yes, without question, those are the two most that I can't think of another one. Early on with Summers too, because Summers would want you to upcut the sound too. You would have to hit that when he would throw to something, you would have to have that right. In New York City, at the end of his opening, you'd have a Paul R. Zuman produced bit that you had to have ready to come out of the open with, and he would want that thing upcut if he heard a second of air, dead air, or space between the end of the sting out of the music and the beginning of the piece, he was in a bad mood the rest of the night because of it. No, I know. Your heart's in a good place. I know, like, my heart's in a good place. Yeah, I was a second late with the button. That was Steve, the best. So, yeah, I mean, you know, come a long way. This doesn't have to be the How's Your Life? This Is Your Life, Chris McMonagle show. But thank you guys for calling. I'm looking forward to talking to you here until for the next 3 hours on our final overnight here together. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.